It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God, that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 32, beginning to read with verse 26 today. Exodus chapter 32, beginning to read with verse 26, and we'll hopefully finish the chapter today. And so please, that you would open your Bibles. Hopefully you can do that today. And if you're at work or traveling or something, well, please just listen carefully, and I hope that you'll enjoy the study today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, you'll find us at the address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to check our website out, and there you could leave an email if you would like, but check our website out. We have many studies there. Parkview Bible Church, say www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so please that you would visit that site, and we have the Sunday messages there. We have many of the studies that we do here on this program that are up on the site. You can listen to them at your convenience, and so please do so. Its purpose is, to come to know Jesus as your Savior and then to grow in the Lord Jesus. So please enjoy that if you have that opportunity of having the internet and can go to that website. So please enjoy it today. We're going to begin reading now at Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and go out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon him a blessing this day." And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. Please, dear Lord, I just ask that you'll show us your way and will for our lives. You know that first of all we need to be saved, we need to be born again. So please touch every heart today. Show them that they're a sinner and they're lost if they do not know you as their Savior. So please today, please bring them to your saving grace. And please then begin to grow them. If they have a good church home, I praise you. If they do not have a church home at all, please, dear Lord, lead them to a good Bible-preaching, soul-winning church that teaches your truth and teaches your word, and that they may grow and learn. And if they don't, if they are in a liberal church, a place that doesn't believe the Word of God and doesn't accept your Word to be your perfect Word from cover to cover, then, dear Lord, I ask that you would remove them from there and take them to a place, again, that teaches the Word. that stands upon the truth and doesn't go for all the fancy things of the day trying to sway people to come into their church like you would in a department store. Please, dear Lord, show us your way and will today. Speak to all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have had a terrible time here in Exodus. We find that the very God that has delivered the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the people have turned against him. They have removed themselves back so quickly. We do the same thing. We revert right back to our old ways so quickly, so fast, and it's so sad. Well, today we find here that these people did the same thing. They remembered what they had in Egypt. Moses was gone. They decided that it was time to reestablish their old gods. So they called upon Aaron to do just such a thing. And Aaron made them a calf, a golden calf, and they immediately begin to proclaim that this calf, this God, is who brought us out of Egypt. This is the God that will deliver us into the promised land. What a sad, sad day it is for anyone to go back to your old gods when you've been saved, when you've been redeemed. Oh, my friend, don't go back to serving the gods of the land, but serve the true God. And so part of that responsibility then is not to compromise, but stand upon the Word of God. Stand upon every word, every letter. Please, don't pick and choose what you want. Don't listen to some liberal preacher that proclaims a feel-good religion, because we got sin to deal with, and we're going to deal with that sin, and that is going to bring you joy and going to bring you peace and happiness that's eternal, not something that's temporary that is taught so often today. Well, we find that it begins to be dealt with here with the action that's going to take place. Moses comes down from the mount when the Lord speaks to him. He picks up Joshua, and Joshua said, I hear singing. I hear rejoicing down in the camp, or joy, it seems like. First, he said, it seems like war, but it doesn't seem like that we're fighting a battle, and it doesn't seem like that we are winning, and it doesn't seem like they're winning. I don't know what it is, and the closer they got, then they could discern what it was, and it was music and dancing and things of that sort. And we're going to find that some of these leaders that called upon Aaron to build this golden calf, they are put to death here pretty shortly. And we find that down at the 28th verse there that about 3,000 men died that day. There were many, many more. There was multitude that was involved in this, but they weren't the instigators. They weren't the ones that started all this mess. It was the ones that started it, I believe, the ones that were really directly involved in it that were held responsible. All received a plague, as we have in verse 35. And that was probably some disease or something some pestilence possibly. Something had come into their lives that made their lives miserable as a result of this. And so no one left this situation untouched. The ones, even probably the Levites that joined the Lord's side here, they probably still had to pay the price with this pestilence and the disease. You know, even when you're walking with the Lord, you still pay the price many times because those that were next to you didn't. We have here quite a situation, quite an example, and we need to take a good look at it. And so we find that not only they came down and they found this the dancing and the everything that was going on, the nakedness, everything, and Moses was angry, and he threw down these plates of the most expensive precious stones ever that God himself had written. And, you know, you hear about a diamond that is worth millions of dollars, or some precious stone of some sort or another, something that man has designed or made, and, oh, it's going to be on an auction block and it'll bring X amount of millions of dollars. Well, if we possess these, they would be of a value that couldn't be numbered. The Word of God, oh, my friend, handwritten by God Himself. What a glorious, glorious day to see those, to witness that. And here comes Moses with these, one in one hand and one in the other hand. And when he sees the people and the sin that they're involved in with worshiping this golden statue, oh, it's so sad. They want to serve a dead God. And maybe that's you. You'd rather serve a dead God than serve a living God. And so if you've never confessed your sin and come to Jesus, and if you've come to Jesus Christ, trusted Him, believe in Him today in your heart, confess with your mouth, yes, that comes from your mind, but your heart, it's your heart we got to deal with. And so be born again, come by faith to Jesus Christ, and begin that wonderful walk, and confess this sin, this wicked sin that you're born with. And so you say, well, I'm really not that bad. Well, you're born bad. And so you're not going to get any better. You just get worse. And so sin's sin, and needs to be dealt with, needs to be taken care of. So please that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you walk with Him each and every day, and begin that wonderful walk. Well, these people started to walk. They started to walk out of Egypt. They got to Mount Sinai. They even witnessed this wonderful division of the sea when they walked through it on dry land, and yet they watched the destruction of the Egyptians as they followed and wanted to, as the Egyptians wanted to destroy the nation of Israel and put them to death. In turn, why our God put the Egyptians to death, those that chose to come after. Those that chose to stay home, they just had to deal with the plagues that they had. But those that went after them died. Same thing here. Those that were involved with making this, they died. First of all, we have here in the 26th verse, Moses stood at the gate of the camp, and he asked a question. Through the study of the Scripture and through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you're going to find that there's a division of the people by their tribe, by their families. And then each of these families then, or a division of them, a group of them, would have a standard, and it was a flag, so to speak, that they would stand under, and it would identify who they are, whether it was, it would normally be about three tribes, would be under this certain standard. And these people here, they had acquired themselves a flag, hadn't they? And it was this golden calf, so that would be their standard. Well, Moses stood before them, and he raised a second standard, another standard, and that standard was God Himself. And he said to these people, Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come, let him come unto me." Moses stood before them. Moses held this new standard up before these people. You make a decision who is on the Lord's side. And we see that immediately all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And so we have a group here, and I believe it's to be a very large group, but they come forward, and they chose to come and stand before Moses and before the Lord. I don't believe that these Levites had anything to do with all this nonsense of the golden calf. They should have dealt with it. They should have held Aaron accountable. They should have said, "No, we will not." But they didn't. They kind of stood back, didn't participate, but didn't stop it either. And I believe that if they would have stepped forwards to stop it, God's power would have been present in them, and they could have put it to an end, put it to a stop. But instead of that, why, we find that that they didn't. And I believe that that's the reason that they were the ones given the responsibility of executing those that participated. And so we have several things here that I want you to see. We have this call, who is on the Lord's side? Whoever comes, please come and join me in service. And so they were to remove themselves from the standard of the golden calf, the flag of the golden calf, and move under the flag of God. They were commanded to make a decision. Well, I kind of ask you to do the same thing. Are you standing up on enemy territory? And are you being taught by liberal preachers that maybe speak the name of Jesus and maybe stand, but your church stands for your doctrine of your church is so liberal and so pathetic, you need to get out. I don't care if it's your home church. I don't care who it is. God tells us to get out. Now here we're just in the book of Nehemiah on another study, and God comes. Nehemiah shows back up, and God directs him to find there's people. There's a mixed multitude among them, and they're commanded to get them out, to separate them. We have to work in the world. But my dear friend, we need this a place of worship. We need a quiet place where we can come and get out of this world and come and study the Word of God. And you can't do that among the heathen, among those that do not believe the Word of God. You need to come and you need to get your power and your strength restored so that you can go back out among them to win them. But if you're among them all the time, it's not long that you take on their characteristics and their ways. We have here in Exodus chapter 24, the third verse. Please listen. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said we will do." That was back in chapter 24, the same time, the same period. Very little time has lapsed. Moses is gone. They must have had their eye on the man and not on our God, because then they called for Aaron to make this golden calf. The same people that spoke the words, "You give us your commands, we'll do them." And Moses was up getting them, but they got impatient. They wanted things now, and they called upon this wicked, the wicked man come and called upon Aaron to build this golden calf. So who's on the Lord's side? We find that the Levites come and joined and come to his side. We look at these words now, and we find what's going to take place. He said to them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and go out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Again, that 3,000 men is just a fraction of who was worshiping this golden calf. But I believe them to be the ones that were involved in the bringing it about. They were the ones that demanded it and went after it. The rest of them kind of fell into place and followed. You know, if you do that, yes, you're guilty. If you're following some false teaching, then you know you're going to be held responsible, maybe not to the full extent as the preacher will be, as those that have made those doctrines in your church that are against the Word of God. They will be held responsible. And here we find that they were put to death because of it. You were responsible for making this golden calf. You were the ones. Now, it seems strange, doesn't it, when you first look at it, that Aaron was not put to death. because Aaron is the one that physically made it. Yes, he made it, but there is no appearance that he was involved in the worship of it. And so God, for some reason in his grace, doesn't hold him as accountable as the people that drummed this idea up and brought this principle out of Egypt and wanted this golden calf made. He held them responsible, and they were put to death. So you see, they were dancing and enjoying and having such a great old time in the morning, and at night they were laying, dying in their own blood. You think about that. That's what happened to these men that decided to stand against the true God. God himself could have brought judgment to these people. He could have brought justice himself. He could have spoken and individually out of every home, every place that these men dwelt. They could have dropped dead instantly. But God chose not to do it that way. He chose to take the Levites, the sons of the Levites, to go out and do this job of justice. He chose them. He called this group out. They stood under the banner of God. And then Moses said unto them, by the leadership of God, now you go and you kill every man that was involved with this process. And so they set out, and they went from house to house, and 3,000 died that day at the hand of the sword of the Levite as they plunged it through their heart, and they were put to death, left on the street to die. That, my friend, is what takes place when you choose to worship the God of this land, the old devil. And you would rather worship a god of gold, a dead god, than you would the living God. And again, many, multitudes, millions probably, were involved with, got taken up in it and got involved with the dancing and all that things there. They were not put to death, but those that promoted it were. Again, the Levites, instead of God doing the judgment, the Levites were held to do that, to bring this justice. Now, by doing, they were the executioners, so to speak. But by bringing the execution, the death upon these people, hopefully, these Levites will wake up and think, we should have stopped it. I am killing my brothers. I'm killing brother Israelites. And that was not a thing of joy to do. To go in there and do that, to put these people to death. It wasn't fun. It was a horrible day for them. But hopefully they'll remember God holds us responsible. We are the Levites. We should have stopped them. We should have spoke up and says, no, we will not build this calf. We will not worship this calf. We will stay true to our God. God will send us a deliverer. And we know that Moses is the one to take us to the promised land, so he will return. They should have made that statement. They should have stood as us preachers should stand. When someone comes into the house of God with a lie, with a false doctrine, don't sit there passively and waiting to see what's going to happen. You make a stand and you get rid of that false teacher out of that church, that false that individual that wants to teach a lie. You know, we in the past have dealt with folks that deny the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They deny it. And when they did, they were going to rid this place of me, but they didn't. And they've been gone for many years. My dear friend, God's power will stand with you when you stand. Now, I'm not saying that you won't be beaten. I'm not saying that you won't be thrown out on your ear. But I tell you what, it's better to be cast aside of the world and stand for God than sit back being quiet and passive and letting these things sneak into your church, into your congregation, into your people. Please, these people were held responsible. God gave them quite a job, and it was an ugly, nasty job to go out and kill 3,000 men that day. So two things took place here that I want you to see. Number one, those that did this were held directly responsible and put to death. And those that should have stopped it were held accountable to the point that they needed to carry it out them. They followed this judgment forth. They were the executioners, and that was not a good day. That was not a fun thing to destroy, because it wasn't destroying what they would think is the enemy. They were destroying brothers. So don't miss that. Don't miss that. Now we come and we find, as this has taken place, and for Moses has said, consecrate yourself today, this is verse 29, to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. We need to return to the Lord. So please, please, let's go clean your life up, confess your sin, and come back in joy with the Lord. And so please, that you do that today, that I do that today, that we keep our hearts right with the Lord and see that what we stand upon is not some man's doctrine, but it's upon God's Word. And hopefully the church that you're in is standing upon God's Word. But most folks don't know. Most folks do not study the Word of God. Most folks don't believe they can. Many congregations, many denominations even teach that if you're not very educated, don't even study the Word of God. Oh, my friend, what a lie. What a deceitful, deceitful lie when you tell somebody not to read the Word of God. That's the devil. The voice is the old devil speaking himself. And so now we come, and we're just about out of time. As always, it moves so quickly. And verse 30, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. You've sinned a great sin. Any sin is a great sin, but this was a horrible, horrible sin. To proclaim this is the God that delivered us out of Egypt, and this is the God that's going to deliver us to the promised land. It's a very land that God promised to these people, not this foolish statue, not this piece of gold. And we know what Moses did to it. He crushed it and he made them to drink of it. And so we see the power of our God versus the power of any other God. And so recognize that today and see that today. And I will go up. You have sinned a great sin. I will go up unto the Lord. Pre-adventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. Just because these 3,000 are dead, it's not over. It's not over. I've got to go stand before God on your behalf. I've got to go see what's going to happen next. And so he tells the people, and the people are fearful, because what's going to happen here? You know, are all of us going to be put to death? And so he goes to make an atonement. Great sins, you know, that's the place that each one of us should be in our own lives. You know, judge ourselves first and then stay true to the Word of God. He goes up. He doesn't say, now you people, you stand on your own 2 feet because I'm not doing anything for you. He doesn't. It is good to hear Moses. He is going to intervene for the people. He is going to come on their behalf and stand before a holy God to see what's going to happen next. And we find that and Moses returned unto the Lord and says, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. You see, he spoke to the people. You've sinned a great sin, and it should have caused great conviction upon the people. But then when he comes before God, he comes and he confesses before God, they have sinned. They have sinned a great sin. And then that next verse says something so special. We're going to start there next time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. My dear friend, it's a wonderful time we come to study the Word of God. Now I'm going to ask you that wonderful question. What are you going to do about Jesus?